Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks again for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Just spent the last couple minutes answering more of those on our Facebook page. And I will continue to answer as we get to the breaks in this hour. As I remind myself on a daily basis, it's a privilege to host the show, and I am thankful for the chance to continue the show, even though I'm working from home and sitting in a corner. There are cards hanging on the wall, like you suggested, but I'm sitting in a corner and now looking at the next house, probably going to be in a closet or somewhere close to it. And it's challenging and it's not my favorite. And unlike many of my fellow broadcasters, both at my company and at other companies, just people that I'm in touch with that I've known for years, many of them like working from home. I don't. I do not like working from home. It's stressful. It's still not real comfortable, and it poses challenges for the show. Not to mention, my cat will not leave me alone. That is one thing I'm really looking forward to next week. So I will be staying at my new house for the first time this weekend. So the furniture gets moved on Saturday. And once I take the cat over to the new house, I'll be coming back here at least for a full week to do the show because of my Verizon, my internet service. It's not getting transferred until a week later. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to do a show without my cat trying to wiggle her way and worm her way in between my back and the back of my chair to the point where she pushes me nearly off the chair. Constantly headbutting me. Right now, she is sitting on the handle of the arm of the chair. Here, I'll prove it. Sugar. See what I mean? Never more than 3 inches from the microphone. Sugar. Ugh. I know you think it's cute, but it's not so cute when it's been almost 12 full weeks of the cat all up in my grill. Sugar.
Thank you.
Sugar. Sugar. Yep. See what I mean? The cat is, I guess she comes by it honestly because her mom is a talker. But it's not easy to do a show when there's always a cat in my personal space. Sugar. Sugar. Oh. All you got was a peep there. I'm trying to be more patient with the cat because I know she misses Ellie, my older cat that I said goodbye to. Oh, man, I can't believe it's been almost 3 weeks. Sugar was with Ellie every day for 11 years. They were never apart. And so I know she's missing Ellie because I'm missing Ellie. And so I'm trying to be more patient, but boy, this cat is high maintenance. Unlike her mom, right, Sugar? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
I got you, babe.
She rarely ever sleeps. I honestly don't know when this cat sleeps. The other morning, I swear she had a mouse in her sights. Every now and then we'll get them through here, but I was getting ready to sleep and I hear her with her like, kind of a howl. And then I hear her kind of like tearing through my office with a few more of those howls. And I guess she gave up or the mouse disappeared or I don't know what happened. Maybe she was seeing her shadow. But yeah, so I keep her around because she's a mouser. And because now after 11 years, she's like that family member that you really don't like, but you can't get rid of because they're family. Don't act like that's mean. You all know what I'm talking about. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Sugar, what do you think of the hump show? Yeah. See what I mean? Sugar. Sugar. Okay. I'm going to cut her off. That whole thing about how cats sleep 18, 19 hours of the day. Yeah, that doesn't apply to her. So from that, we transition to the latest, almost comical proposal from the Major League Baseball Players Association. It's going to be rejected. It's going to be rejected. I'll just tell you that even before I tell you what the proposal is, because the owners have already indicated through their various sources and they're out there that they don't like this proposal either. And it's not okay. It is not okay. So the original players proposal was 114 games. You remember baseball countered with 50 or 40 to 50 because they have a certain amount of money they want to pay out in salaries. And however many games it takes to get there on the prorated salary structure that the players want, well, that's how many games that the owners want to play. Now the players have countered with 89 games. So it's 25 games fewer than their last proposal, but they are not budging on the prorated salaries, not budging. According to Jeff Passan, who is ESPN's baseball insider, he said, after talking to players the last couple of days, that they've made it very clear, money isn't just the most important thing, and I'm going to use his words, it's the only thing that matters to the players. They want their full prorated salaries. The only thing that matters to them is that they get their full prorated salaries. Ultimately, this is according to Passan, they would rather play fewer games. They don't want to play fewer games, but they would rather play fewer games as long as they get all the money that is due them. Now, here's the thing. They could take a 75% pay cut. So just to explain, prorated salaries is you get paid for the games you play at your whatever your salary was supposed to be to start 2020. They could play, let's say, 75 games and take a pay cut, play more games and get the same money. But they don't want to budge off this hill. The players' union in baseball is extremely powerful. They see it as caving, and they think that compromise will lead to negative precedent in the future. So it's not just about the money. It is about not caving on those prorated salaries, because they could play 76 games, 80 games at a little less money and still make the same amount ultimately, right? Because they're getting paid per game. Baseball has proposed that. The owners have said, we'll pay you 75% of your prorated salaries and we'll give you 25 more games. But the union does not want to budge. And it's mostly a power struggle. They don't want it to set a precedent where they caved on money. In their opinion, it's caving on money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Rob Manfred has had quite a 2020. I'm not sure there's another official in pro sports or even college sports. Maybe a few who are now getting called out for using racial slurs. But their names are not nearly as big as Rob Manfred's. Manfred first went through the whole Astros cheating mess and the commissioner's report and why aren't the players being punished and the PR nightmare that ensued. And then he goes from that right into this. And now getting criticized. Now, he gets paid handsomely to stand up there and be the face and the voice of the baseball owners. Ultimately, this is their choice, though. Just like every other commissioner, they are essentially CEOs for the owners. But we're asking you on this show, when you think about the commissioners, whether Rob Manfred, whether Roger Goodell, whether Gary Bettman, who largely operates in the shadows, he could be a Sith Lord, you would never know it. And then, who am I missing? Don't tell me. Oh, Adam Silver, of course. How would you describe them in a word or two? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and I'll get to some of your responses. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line, of course. I thought it was interesting the point that Kevin Youkilis made when he was a guest with Pat McAfee on CBS Sports Radio on, I guess it would have been Tuesday. My days all run together. But he was pointing out that the 50-game season is not an accurate depiction of who the best teams in Major League Baseball really are.
Go look at the win-loss record of teams in May, and you'll see that it's not the best teams always that are at the top. I mean, there's a reason there's 162 games played, because by the end of the year, you know who's on top. You don't get lucky, you know. And in a 48-game season, you're going to get more people that might be flirting there that wouldn't necessarily be there with 162 games played.
Kevin Youkilis with the Pat McAfee Show on CBS Sports Radio. And as he said that, it got me to thinking. Last year, the World Series champion Nationals started out 19-31. Do you know that's exactly 50 games? If they only played a 50-game season last year, the Nationals never would have made the playoffs and would have finished 12 games below 500. 19-31. So
take
I agree.
That for data.
I agree that a 50-game season is not what baseball teams are used to, and considering how we evaluate teams and how some teams need time to gel and find their rhythm and, of course, get healthy, compared to last season, the season before, it wouldn't be an accurate depiction. But it would require teams to take different strategies into these games, into these series. I mean, they wouldn't be playing the normal schedule that they are accustomed to. They wouldn't be playing in the same stadiums. I mean, it would just be completely different. But if they only play 50 games, I think it lends itself even more to having an asterisk. I mean, I'd asked you that question going back, oh gosh, over a month now, probably. Do champions crowned in 2020 deserve an asterisk next to their name for better or for worse? And while I don't necessarily think the NBA and the NHL do or will, though we'll see how it plays out, I do believe that if they only get to 40 or 50 games, then this season shouldn't be remembered as anything other than, I don't know, like a blip on the radar, a disaster, really.
Does the Major League Baseball season probably need to go down a couple games? Yes, I 100% agree with that. But it needs to be played over 144 games or that many games in order to show who the best is. I mean, that's why there's a seven-game series a lot of times, because that's what shows who the best team is. So for me personally, if it's not 80, like half the season, it's not worth it in my mind.
Now, maybe that's easier for Kevin Youkilis to say because he's got a couple World Series rings and because he's retired, former AL East, mostly Red Sox, third baseman, first baseman, too. If you want to hear that whole conversation, it's on CBSSportsRadio.com. Look for the Pat McAfee Show. It's easy for him to say that, right, because he's not the one who's going to be on the field. It no longer matters to him personally. He says, yeah, I mean, the baseball season is too long, generally. But he starts out talking about, you know, 100-plus games. That's not happening. Here's something else that baseball is really committed to. And I think it's mostly owners, but they make a good case that they are determined that the regular season is going to end when it normally does, which is end of September. And there's some concern about the second wave of the virus, if that happens. There's no way to predict that, but there's some concern about that. But also in general, you know, some of the other off-season events and free agency and yada, 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 yada. And so they believe that they should stay on track. Also, here's the other major piece of this. The TV networks, that time is blocked out in October. Now, obviously, everything has changed when it comes to TV and entertainment in 2020. But that time that they would air these series is already blocked out on the TV networks. And that's when they have the opportunity, or they believe they have the clearance, to air these games. So it's also about their contract with the networks. Ultimately, bottom line. And so at this point, the baseball owners are going to reject another proposal and so on and so forth. I don't know at what point the owners will decide to heck with it. Commissioner Manfred, let's go. Because he does have the power to say how many games and when they start. And that question continues to be floated out there. The date has changed more and more. The question was posed on Tuesday to longtime baseball exec Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ.
Now, I'm being told right now that if all of a sudden they have an agreement or they implement it, they're telling me it's going to take 10 days to get the fields ready, the clubhouses ready, with all of the safeguards for safe and health reasons. If that's the case, then right now we're looking between July 10th and July 15th of when we could get started.
I think that's optimistic. I mean, Bowden is saying, okay, it's about a month. Originally, they were targeting Independence Day weekend, so kind of the start of July. That's clearly off the table. I can't imagine that they are in place and ready to go. And I like how Bowden says all of a sudden. If all of a sudden they get a deal done, no, forget all of a sudden deal. If all of a sudden the owners say, screw this, Rob Manfred has the ability to set the number of games at our discretion and say, get back to work. And if he does that and the players go back to work and they would get their prorated salaries, the earliest is what Bowden is saying would be mid-July. They have missed this wide open span here where they could have gone back to work without competition from basketball and hockey. If they do not, and this is optimistic now, if they do not get back on the field before mid-July, the NBA and NHL are already converging on their hub cities, and they become a much bigger story than baseball. Now, baseball will get some headlines, but they've missed this chance to be the only sport other than, say, NASCAR and golf, but the only major team sport. MLS is likely to do a tournament in Orlando sometime in July, but baseball's missed this window where it could have had the center ring of the circus all to itself. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What's a word or two that you would use, not an offensive word, but a word or two that you would use to describe the four commissioners? Jimmy on Facebook, Silver is congenial, Goodell is versatile, Bettman is enterprising, I like that one, and Rob Manfred, indecisive. I have progressive for Adam Silver, unflappable for Roger Goodell. I like the adjectives, the descriptors. So you can post on our Facebook page or you can send me a tweet, A-Law Radio, and we'll get to some of those reactions. Speaking of reaction, I got a great reaction to my conversation with longtime sportscaster Rachel Barbeau, who joined us earlier in the show. She now has a new passion and a new vision. She left sportscasting to do something different. So I'm going to bring back a portion of that conversation so you all can hear it on this Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us on The Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Still on that right hash. Lawrence will take the shotgun snap, first and 10 of the 19. Goes at left side, outside the numbers, has Higgins. Higgins turns it up that sideline and goes into the end zone. Touchdown! Higgins caught it at about the 8 and just turned it right north-south and took it into the end zone for 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
College football, it's not that far down the road. It may look and sound different in 2020, but I will welcome it back with open arms. That's Don Munson on the Clemson Radio Network. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio. Couple of words, couple of adjectives to describe each of the four major team sports commissioners in North America and how they're navigating the pandemic. Earlier in the show, we welcomed from Nashville, Tennessee, live, my friend Rachel Barbeau, who spent 17 years working in sports broadcasting, and so we were sisters in this industry, but then retired and decided to pursue a different passion. And we got so many great tweets and Facebook posts in response to Rachel's appearance earlier on the show. I wanted to bring part of it back because she definitely inspires. So we're going to pick up the interview at the point at which I ask her, why did she decide to leave sportscasting to pursue a different vision?
So in 2016, we were on the heels of Penn State. We were right in the thick of Baylor. I remember there were guys getting in trouble from Jeffrey Simmons, who's rehabilitated his life at Mississippi State at the time, to Boise State. I mean, there were guys getting in trouble across the country, and it was domestic violence, sexual violence, you know, big issues. And I remember thinking, you know, that I knew that there were great guys that were coaching and playing, but they were getting painted with a broad brush for people that were not doing it the right way. And so in 2016, I was just audacious enough, Amy, to believe that I could affect change. And I started this crazy movement called, at that time, Changing the Narrative. And it was purpose, passion, platform. What would you do if you weren't on the field or the track or the pool? Like, what were you born for? Because you weren't born just to play sports. And I did it for 4 years. And the last year, 2019, I lost my mom in 2019 after a cancer battle and had my own battle with, and a dark night of the soul where I had suicidal ideations. But even before that, that whole last year, I felt like I was straddling two different worlds. And one was, hey, after a game, let me put a microphone in your face. But, oh, by the way, I know all your secrets. I know your anxiety. I know what happened with your mom. I'm a mentor to you. And I really felt like it was time. I had been analyzing and breaking down players for 17 years, and I really felt like it was time to motivate and lift up. And so I made one of the toughest decisions of my life, and I walked away from sportscasting to do this full time.
How does it work? How do you get the opportunity to stand in front of a team in a locker room or to address a group of athletes and share your message?
Well, it started back in 2016. It started, you know, listen, everything in life is a relationship. You know, I always tell people when I was mentoring, you know, female broadcasters or now everything's a relationship. You don't want to step on somebody because they're going to come back around. You don't treat people like that. You know, you take care of people, and I'm a relationship person. And so when I decided to create this curriculum back in 2016, there was a very famous sports psychologist and he worked with Jimbo Fisher down at FSU. And he said, by the way, he wants you to come into and speak to his program. And I was like, what? Like when I envisioned this program, I thought high schools and now I do have a program for high schools online, but I never really even put two and two together, Amy. That's like the craziness of this. So then FSU happened. And then 6 months later, Dabo Swinney lets me address his football team 16 days before they dismantle Ohio State en route to a national championship. Wow. I mean, it was insane. Didn't ask me about my notes. Didn't ask me what I was going to talk about. Just that trust, that relationship of years of being inside the business. And then one thing happened, one school and then another school. And then it was Baylor after Matt Rhule got there and was enacting change. And then Alabama. And before you know it, we are standing here now 4 years later, 40 plus schools, many schools have me in multiple times. And, you know, LSU is one of my teams, just won the national championship, Minnesota, one of my teams. And the movement has really grown. It's not just football teams now, it's all sports. I also speak to queens because my belief is that inside of every one of us exists a king or a queen. Mm. And because of stuff I call funky junk, that might be trauma, that might be unforgiveness, that might be bitterness, that might be a whole host of things, right? Mental health issues. We can't look, a lot of us can't look ourselves in the mirror. And there was a point in time in my life where I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I didn't love the person that was staring back at me, right? I didn't recognize I was a queen. So therefore, I didn't have standards and boundaries by which I let people treat me. And I was a mess. And when I started to recognize that there was one of me in the entire world that I was a queen, I started to have those healthy standards and boundaries. I started to love myself. I started to value myself, and everything else changed. And so the movement started with purpose, passion, platform, but then it grew into this, like I said, this idea of kings and queens and how to date, right? My own experience with domestic violence. You know, I tell them, if you were in that house that night, would you have protected me? And they scream, they cry, they say yes. And then it expanded because of my own life. It expanded to mental health. And I recognize that we have to start addressing self-care and mental health, and it's been a beautiful ride, and we've done so much, Amy. But I feel like we're really just scratching the surface, because now we're expanding out beyond just colleges and getting into corporations and Border Patrol and Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it's really an evergreen from your age 6 to 96.
Rachel Barbeau is the founder of I'm Changing the Narrative after a nearly 20-year career in sportscasting and a lot of it in college sports, but also going beyond that now, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So how do you start then? Let's say you're standing in front of the Clemson football team, or you're standing in front of a room of female athletes who, you know, you and I were both in that stage in college where a lot of young women are insecure. They care so much what people think of them. And as you say, they go to great lengths to be loved. We do. It's something I did when I was younger at a hard time with boundaries. So where do you start? It's such a mammoth job and a humongous message.
Yeah, so it's great. And I've refined it over the years. And you know, for some schools like that I've been to multiple times, like PJ Fleck, he'll say, I don't want to have a ton of different speakers to talk about these different things. I'm going to bring you in because I know you can talk about dating, self-worth, mental health, you know, all these different topics, right? So it's been refined for sure. And I meet with coaches. I was just at Texas Tech before the quarantine started, sat down with Coach Wells and said, you know, kind of what do you want me to talk about? Because I can talk about a lot of different things. So I definitely sit down with the coaches and we kind of hone in on what they feel like their team needs. But when I address women, when I address queens, I start it and I say, where are my queens at? And I say, well, you know, and I get them to raise their hands and they're like, woo, woo, you know. And then some look at you like what? And it is that because I'm standing in front of them. I'm not preaching to them. Here's the crazy thing that happens, Amy, and it's beautiful and crazy. I have players tell me all over the country, and I even hear them on Zooms because I've been doing a ton of Zooms and work during the quarantine. They say, oh, another motivational speaker. And by the end of it, they send me messages, and they were like, oh, Ma. They call me Ma, Coach Rachel, Miss Rachel. I thought you were another motivational speaker, but you were the best thing I ever heard, or you changed my life. And so when I speak to women, it's where my queen's at. When I speak to men, I tell them, for some of you, you will walk out of here and you will never be the same. If you have the heart to get it, if you have an open heart and an open mind today, for some of you, I am telling you, your life will never be the same. I know it because thousands of lives have been changed across the country. Guys have forgiven deadbeat dads. Guys are saying, I'm going to be a better father. Guys have mended relationships with their families. Guys have, and gals, but guys have forgiven their fathers that are incarcerated. I mean, crazy amount of life change has happened. So when you start it like that and really grab their attention with truth, with reality, with my life, and here's the crazy thing. It's just my life, Amy. All these pitfalls, highs, lows, all of it together has combined to make this incredible story. And I'm just very blessed that I get to go and tell it across the country.
I literally have 60 seconds. I know that you understand because we got hard outs in radio, but
totally.
A couple of the impacts that you have seen.
Big one. A guy literally, he said, I left here and I was so moved because he said kings do hard things. And I called my deadbeat dad and I told him I forgave him. Ugh. Another guy told me he forgave the father that wanted him to be aborted. Another guy said, In 1 hour, you made me a better son, a better father, a better boyfriend, and all kinds of queens getting into therapy after having trauma, after being assaulted. So beautiful, beautiful things happening.
Rachel Barbeau. A longtime sportscaster. She and I have crossed paths multiple times at conferences, and we've had speaking engagements where we're on the same platforms. And every time she has a mic, she inspires. And I'm so glad she was on the show. She just recently was hired as a consultant for the Big Ten, and we'll definitely have her on again. I mean, she's changing lives with her message and her vision in both college and high schools. And the more the word spreads, the more teams have her in. So check out her Twitter, which is her name. And then also her YouTube channel, where she's got a couple really cool videos up, like when the Minnesota Golden Gophers presented her with a game ball during Mental Health Awareness Month. And she was really emotional in their locker room. So Twitter is where you can find all that stuff. But that message is so good that I wanted to make sure that some of our later morning audience heard it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Malcolm Jenkins wants the NFL to take another step. The apology was good, but not good enough. You'll hear what he has to say to Roger Goodell and the NFL owners.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's been seen and heard by millions and millions of people. Roger Goodell, in his representation of the NFL owners and the league offices itself, apologizing for not being on the front lines, for not doing what they said they were going to do, for being tone deaf, for not supporting players. And he endorses, in the same video, peaceful protests. Now, we've talked about what that likely means for this upcoming 2020 season. We may even see Roger Goodell join in kneeling during the national anthem as a form of protest. That's one of the reports that's out there. Definitely speculation. But Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins believes the commissioner and the league must go forward and take one big step still. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you're a fan of history and you love the Halls of Fame, guess what? Today is the day the Pro Football Hall of Fame reopens in Canton. It's been closed since March 16th. How about that? So it's been closed for nearly 3 months, but it reopens in Canton, Ohio, which is a piece of good news. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Malcolm Jenkins was very vocal and very emotional in his harsh criticism of Drew Brees, going back to last week. So we had all these things kind of happen right in a row. The Drew Brees interview with Yahoo Finance, which happened on, a Wednesday, and everyone criticized his apologies on social media, his statement that came out on Thursday. Then you had the video that NFL players put together behind the backs of the league office, and reportedly, they got help from those people who run the NFL social media accounts. So they did not ask for permission. They put their jobs on the line by not going to whoever their bosses were on the NFL ladder. Instead, those people who run the social media accounts worked with the players behind the scenes to put out these videos that featured Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. We played it earlier on the show, and we also put it out on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. So that happened, then Roger Goodell's apology, and now here is Malcolm Jenkins, who made an appearance on CBS this morning, Tuesday, requiring another step for the NFL and the commissioner to prove its sincerity.
I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. At the end of the day, they have listened to their players. They've donated money. They've created an Inspire Change platform. They've tried to do things up until this point. It's been one player in particular that they have not, or that they've ignored and have not acknowledged, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Strong words again from the Saints safety, Malcolm Jenkins. Now, a couple of things. Those are his words on CBS this morning. He knows, as well as anybody who is familiar with the NFL, that the league cannot assign him to a team. It doesn't work that way. You can't just throw a guy on a team. The commissioner doesn't have the ability to assign a player to a team. There's all kinds of reasons why, and most of them you know already, so I won't go into them. But Jenkins already knows that. So that kind of piqued my interest. Also, what he says about how they've ignored him and not acknowledged him. Well, that's not entirely true, because there was that failed workout that was scheduled for NFL teams. Remember, Colin at the last second didn't like the way the NFL was controlling it behind closed doors, not allowing all the media in. So he moved it, and it turned into more of a PR opportunity and a commercial opportunity than it did an actual workout. Though he did end up throwing footballs, and there were a few people there from the football world. So they haven't completely ignored him. They also settled their collusion case with him last year. But he's not worked in the NFL since 2016. The door is wide open now for a couple of reasons. Number one, because owners and the league itself does in fact want to show that they have turned this corner and that they're in lockstep with the players who are protesting, whether peacefully in their own cities or using their own social media, protesting police brutality, social injustice. The league has opportunities now to put action behind the apology. And just by virtue of what's happening this spring during the pandemic, when they open training camps, more than likely there will be limited media there, if any media at all. There will likely be one or two, maybe a handful, that are allowed to serve as pool reporters, unless something drastically changes between now and the time they open training camp in about 6 weeks. But they're taking it very slowly, not interested in bringing everybody back all at once, because they don't want the 2020 season to be threatened. And so at least initially, the team that would bring on Colin Kaepernick wouldn't have to worry about a mad crush of media. Now, there might be a lot of attention on the team, but everything would be done via Zoom call or pool report with long microphones where, you know, they really can't be surrounded by hordes of media. And so there are some unique situations, but mostly Malcolm Jenkins is saying this is the step that must be taken. My question would be, if the league apologizes to Kaepernick, what is Roger Goodell apologizing for? They've already signed that collusion case. I'm sorry, they've always settled that collusion case. If the commissioner were to say we apologize to Colin Kaepernick without saying why, it would be odd and talk about disingenuous. So what? I mean, is the league going to admit that there were owners that colluded to keep him out of the league? I mean, is that what he's supposed to admit? What does Malcolm Jenkins want him to say, I guess, is my question. What are they apologizing for? Punishing him for kicking him out of the league? I mean, they didn't have to. He didn't have a contract. So I guess I understand where Malcolm Jenkins is coming from, because Kaepernick hasn't played since 2016. And you think about the number of quarterbacks that have come through. So whether your issue with Kaepernick is his ability, maybe he's been out of the league too long, he's asking for too much money, yada, 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 whatever it is, you can't coerce a team to bring him on board. I mean, there's no way that's happening. And before this point, it was radioactive. I mean, to bring him into your locker room, especially if it was as a backup QB, which more than likely it would have been, at least in the situations that were suggested. Well, then you're talking about a firestorm around a guy who might not even get on the field. And there are a lot of teams we know right away are not interested in those kinds of distractions. When it comes to the NFL, I mean, I said it before, I don't believe that there was actual collusion. I don't think there needed to be collusion. Each owner can make up his own mind. These are billionaire, powerful owners who don't let someone else tell them how to run their business. I don't know that there needed to be collusion. I mean, for the most part, you see teams stay away from athletes that are highly controversial unless they believe that athlete can help them win. So, I mean, there's a lot of pieces to this. And so if the NFL would take the step to apologize to Colin Kaepernick, I'm wondering the why behind it. What would they say? And if they did say, you know, we blackballed you, we colluded to keep you out, what does that mean about this lawsuit or this, well, it was a grievance that was settled, this lawsuit that was settled, then what? I'm not exactly sure how that works. So I don't know if the NFL is going to take that step, but I do believe the league is now wide open for him to return. It would still be a firestorm of media coverage, but maybe not as divisive. And would the league earn some major points, some credibility for bringing him back after all this time? Let's be honest, the NFL does a lot of things for PR, but who are you going to do that with? I mean, if a team does it, a team has to do that individually. The league can't mandate a team bringing on a player. So yeah, there's a lot of layers to it, but Malcolm Jenkins is saying that's the only thing that people want to hear now from the NFL is an apology, an explanation for Colin Kaepernick. So we'll see whether or not that comes next. That would talk about shock the NFL community. It definitely would. We're always glad to hear from you on both Twitter and Facebook. Thank you so much for your questions, for Ask Amy Anything. I did go back and answer a bunch of them. I'll try to answer a few more. And your descriptors for the four commissioners who are navigating right now a spring unlike any other. Pamela says, I get up early just to listen to your show. You start my day off on the right note. Well, that's cool, Pamela. Have a great hump day. We'll talk to you again tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.